leave you wanting more.
On News Radio Pensacola.
Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Well, I'm on my way. I don't know where I'm going. I'm on my way. I'm taking my time, but I don't know where. Goodbye to Rose, the queen of Corona. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard.
Good morning, 8-11 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Hey, coming up in about a half hour, we're going to have the wrap where the local medical examiner, Deanna Oleski, and Jonathan Owens are both going to be here in studio talking about some stuff. Find out why it is that Mother's Day gets canceled and the Transgressions Memorial Service coming up in about 10 minutes. Right now, we have Julio Diaz. He is the host of Let's Go Pensacola, 4 o'clock Saturday here on this station, and also the Pensacola Movie Club on Facebook. Julio, welcome back, sir. There we go. How about that? Julio, are you there, sir?
I'm here. Are you?
I am, mostly. All right, so we got a couple
sure
of,
about that.
A couple, you know, ask the existentialist in me. Every once in a while, you got me derailed. Well done. Three movies this week. Last Breath is the first one, and?
Yeah, this is it's kind of like an ongoing thing of, like, there'll be a documentary made, and then filmmakers say, hey, that's a good idea for a movie. Yeah, it was already one, but they make, you know, a dramatized version of a documentary. This is what's happening in this case. And
so the intro to this movie will say even less based on a true story. Is that what I'm hearing?
Well, it's based on a true story. It's based on a documentary that was already done about the same subject. But this is about a team of elite deep sea divers who kind of have to come together after one of them is trapped hundreds of miles below the surface. They have to try to rescue their cohort.
Okay.
Woody Harrelson, seemingly a good cast in this, and getting pretty decent reviews, running about 76% on Rotten Tomatoes.
All right. My Dead Friend Zoe sounds like a movie that'd be up your alley.
Yeah, this is actually the best reviewed movie of the week. This is running in the high 90s on Rotten Tomatoes. And a good cast in this, too. It's The lead actress is Sonequa Martin-Green, who, if you watched Star Trek Discovery, she was Captain Michael Burnham on Star Trek Discovery.
Okay.
Also been in The Walking Dead, a number of things like that. She is an Afghan war vet who is coming home and trying to readjust to life as a civilian with her constant companion, her dead friend from the war, who nobody else can see. She's dealing with that kind of post-traumatic thing with the assistance of this friend. And, you know, she's got a counselor played by Morgan Freeman that's trying to talk her through it. She's got her mother played by Gloria Rubens, and nothing's kind of working. But then her grandfather, who's played by Ed Harris, needs help, and the conflict comes from there.
Sounds like a really interesting premise for revealing the mindset of PTSD, not necessarily because PTSD folks have, hallucinations of dead people, but because that would give the opportunity for a dialogue there that would be interesting, revelatory.
Yeah, and the tone here is dark, but it's comedic, too.
Okay,
so.
Good. Yeah. And then also Riff Raff, I think, is the third one?
Yeah, Riff Raff, this is unfortunately not the long-awaited origin story of the villain from the Rocky Horror Picture Show, because I would have already seen that if that were the case. But this is a comedy starring Jennifer Coolidge and Ed Harris as a couple with a teenage son, and their disinherited son comes back with his ex-wife and his girlfriend, and they're being pursued by mobsters.
Oh, that old trope.
Yeah. So, fun cast with this. You've also got Bill Murray in it. But the reviews are not super great on this. Not terrible, but running in the 60% range on Rotten Tomatoes.
All right. Two Ed Harris movies in a week. Has he got to pay the bills or something? I mean, that's kind of unusual.
Yeah, I guess so,
Very good. What are you guys going to watch next week, Julio?
I've been looking forward to this one for a while. We've got a movie called Mickey 17 coming out. This is Bong Joon-ho's follow-up to Parasite, the big Oscar winner from a few years ago. And this is a darkly comedic science fiction movie starring Robert Pattinson as an expendable. He is somebody who has signed up to be infinitely cloned, and whenever one of his clones is killed and doing these horrible jobs that nobody wants to do, he's replaced with another clone. well, what happens when there's two clones at once?
Right.
Hilarity ensues, apparently. But yeah, I've been looking forward to this one for a while. Big fan of Bong Joon-ho in general. And yeah, pretty timely because, of course, we got the Oscars this weekend as well.
Right. And, you know, I love the kind of the science fiction version of Multiplicity that the question philosophers have been asking since at least the Delian ship problem about who is who when you have that happen. No, I love it. That sounds very, very interesting. All right, Julio Diaz, he is the host of Let's Go Pensacola. I assume tomorrow you're going to talk about the Oscars a bunch?
Yeah, the whole show will be about the Oscars tomorrow. We're going to be talking about what we think is going to win and what should win and all that kind of good stuff.
Very good.
I also want to very quickly mention that if you are a fan of Pensacon and you like to get your VIP tickets, they go on sale at 10 a.m. this morning.
Oh, outstanding. So just under 2 hours from now. Very good. Julio Diaz, again, Let's Go Pensacola, 4 o'clock tomorrow, or, and really, the Pensacola Movie Club on Facebook on Thursday nights. Julio, thanks for the time. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thanks, Andrew.
All right. PJ's got traffic on the fives.
Traffic is brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Call us today for all your commercial and premium landscaping needs. Taking a look at the big board, there's a vehicle crash, I-10 eastbound, right around mile marker 7. There is a partial roadblock, so use caution in that area. Also, vehicle crash at Scenic Highway and East Olive Road. No road blockage there. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
You know, what you want in a realtor is somebody who's going to guide you through the process, get you a good end result, you know, get you to closing, right, solve all the problems, get you good prices, all that. But honestly, you also want one that's going to be straight with you. And sometimes be straight with you in general is telling you what you may not want to hear. I was just listening to Christine Leavenworth yesterday on Pep Talk, and she was explaining how, you know, some people, they sit down with them, or she sits down with them, and they tell her what kind of house they want, where they want to live, and what they think their price is. And she's like, I don't think we can do it for that price. And to be honest, you might need a little bit more of a down payment than you've got right now to get what you want and really be happy. This might be something you wait on for a year. I mean, don't you want a realtor who's going to be that honest with you and going to really set you up for success? Because, you know, what happens is if you go in with what you've got and then, you know, you can't quite get what you want and you're regretting it and you don't qualify, or, you know, you get close but you make compromise that you don't want. I mean, like, I want somebody in my life who's going to tell me maybe what I don't want to hear that's really what I should want to hear. And she will. 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary. And you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money and called the certified public accountants at Benakis & Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Benakis & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Benakis & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Benakis & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division for fun, call Benakis & Associates. Now in the historic district on 120 South Alkanes and online at flacpas.com. Benakis & Associates. Leave the numbers to the experts.
Ladies, are you looking to make a big difference in the new year? I'm Martha Holden, president of Impact 100 Pensacola Bay Area, a woman's philanthropic group that has awarded over $17 million to nonprofit organizations in our community. Women 18 and older are invited to upcoming meet and mingle events, with March 1st as our membership deadline. For details, check us out on Facebook or visit impact100pensacola.org.
Join Acupuncture and Wellness of Pensacola today at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Dr. Rebecca Gibbons will be here to answer your questions about the many benefits of acupuncture. If you suffer from chronic back pain, neuropathy, or joint pain, or even stress and anxiety, this is a show you will not want to miss. Today at 9, with Acupuncture and Wellness of Pensacola on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings before Pep Talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Our first remembrance may shock some of you, but I assure you, we have studied this case and even solemnly consulted the Holy International Clavering on Exclusion, Condemnation, and Unimproper Cancellation. And yes, we are forced by our rules, our principles, and our consciences to cancel, prepare yourselves, the Walt Disney Company. I know, it is almost unthinkable that anything could come between us and the mouse. The company, which has for decades featured only non-traditional families, especially ones where at least one parent is missing, absent, or deceased, celebrated witchcraft, magic, and spells, treated children as the source of all wisdom, and completely and utterly ignored any mention of a monotheistic deity, let alone that one found in the Bible. But something terrible has happened. In fact, two terrible things, which together add up to one ineluctable necessity for us, a declaration of apostasy. Let me explain. Pixar Studios has made a Disney Plus series called Win or Lose, which tells the stories of a group of co-ed softball-playing children over the course of many episodes. Last fall, Disney horrified us by announcing that they were dropping one of the characters who was transgender. They defended this decision by saying, quote, "When it comes to animated content for a younger audience, we recognize that many parents would prefer to discuss certain subjects with their children on their own terms and timeline." That alone would have been bad enough. But things have become so much worse since it has been revealed that one of the characters added to the plot is the young daughter of the coach who struggles with feelings of doubt, anxiety, self-esteem, and depression. So far, so good, right? Normal Disney fodder. No, dear Otherin. Not good at all. As it turns out, we are introduced to this young girl, Lori, just before she steps up to the plate for an at-bat, and she is shown praying with a heavenly light and an angel cut out in her bedroom. And she audibly utters the words, hold on to your pink knit hats, Heavenly Father. That's right, she's a Christian. And not the kind of Christian we approve of in entertainment. The arrogant or self-righteous or hypocritical or downright evil. Think here of the ruthless French Minister of Justice Frollo in The Hunchback of Notre Dame, a villain's villain and therefore a perfectly acceptable Christian role. After 29 years with no Christians in their productions at all, Disney has now not only included a Christian, but they picked an adorable little girl who wrestles with her faith and finds comfort in prayer? This is the height of betrayal. How dare Disney platform any members of the most popular religion in this country? How dare they break the great stained glass wall of exclusion that for years has stood between the two-thirds of American Christians on the outside and a character they could identify with on the inside? How dare Disney let little Christian girls and boys in the United States see themselves represented on the small screen in such a ludicrously positive way? Our only hope is that they will at least portray her father, Coach, as a terrible hypocrite in the faith, but even then, the damage will have been done. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend!
Second, the Federal Aviation Administration really has helped the cause of our order by recommending a whole slew of word changes related to airplanes and pilots. Just as we have all long since stopped using the sexist term stewardess and instead call them by the wonderfully gender-fluid term flight attendant, it's time to really clean house on the language of aviation. In regards to drones and UAPs, they want to replace the term man-made with something gender-neutral such as fabricated or machine-made. At first, they had proposed manufactured, but as soon as you say it, man-ufactured, you can see why this is no good. Instead of referring number two to pilots as airmen, the replacement is to now call them by the more neutral term aviator or pilot. Similarly, manned and unmanned flight will instead become piloted or crewed and unpiloted or uncrewed flight. Simple. Number three, it will no longer be acceptable to refer to the portion of the aircraft where the aviator sits as a cockpit. I don't mean to belabor the obvious, but as the FAA notes, quote, the term cockpit has at times been used by male crew members to undermine femme co-workers, that's right, femme co-workers, and make them feel like they do not belong in front of the controls of an airplane. Instead of cockpit, the FAA recommends we use the term flight deck. We had recommended they really embrace femininity and refer to it as the airplane control womb, given its shape and position within the fuselage. They declined our suggestion. Four, for similar reasons, there's also a recommendation to stop using the term the stick and to instead use phrases like pull the stick, push the stick, ease back gently on the stick as ways of describing the controls for directionality and attitude. For now, the best alternative is to simply call it the flight control device. Although this is certainly not an elegant substitute, at least it isn't sexually suggestive or a source of gender marginalization. The FAA briefly considered joystick, control pole, and power rod, but these all seem to be going in the wrong direction. These are all very simple changes, and we certainly will implement them in our conversations around aviation and air travel as we collectively soar ever higher into the hopeful blue sky of future language. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Finally, we want to lend our most vociferous and support and encouragement to the embattled Democratic governor of Wisconsin, Tony Evers, who has taken extreme criticism from the gender repressors and trans denialists in the Wisconsin Republican Party for some very sensible and forward-thinking language changes made in this year's budget. In an effort to be inclusive of all family types and parental genders, the new language in a section dealing with in vitro fertilization procedures deftly replaces the words mother and father with the more neutral labels person or spouse, and specifically replaces references to mother with the official phrase of elegance, inseminated person. One particular passage used to read, in the bad days, if, with the consent of her husband, a wife is inseminated artificially with semen donated by a man not her husband, the husband of the mother at the time of the conception of the child shall be the natural father of the child conceived. The new, cleaner, more elegant version reads, if with the spouse's consent, a person is inseminated artificially with semen donated by a person who is not the spouse of the person being inseminated, the spouse of the inseminated person at the time of the conception of the child shall be the natural parent of the child conceived. You see how much more accurate that is? How much more inclusive and simple? Since science clearly teaches us that gender is a psychological rather than a biological fact, it's obviously true that persons who identify as male but still have a uterus can have fertilized eggs implanted in them, and dealing with this in an honest, loving, and scientifically accurate way is, of course, a good thing. Now, although we do cherish Governor Evers' lucidity of thought, we believe there's work yet to be done in the great cultural petri dish of Wisconsin state government. The most obvious next step is to properly relabel two key observances in the state's recognized calendar. Naturally, we recommend that the second Sunday in May should no longer be called Mother's Day, but should henceforth be referred to as Inseminated Persons Day, with perhaps a law requiring that restaurant advertising, gift marketing, and greeting card stock be adapted to pick up the correct terminology and be deprived of state funding if they won't comply. Just as obviously, the third Sunday in June should not be called Father's Day, but we're still trying to decide what to replace it with. Perhaps it should be called Inseminator's Day, or Sperm Donor Day, or Day of the Seed Spreader, or Giver of the Juice Day. We've considered alternatives. In the beginning, we had the Great Day of the Ejaculator, but the younger staffers advised us that might be misinterpreted. So we're still working on this. Then we realized something that made that problem go away. What about the other partner in a lesbian parenting unit, the one who doesn't actually carry a child in her womb? By abandoning Mother's Day in favor of Inseminated Persons Day, we've excluded her. And by reducing Father's Day to the biological function of insemination, we have defined out anyone who didn't personally impregnate the person we used to refer to as mother. So perhaps Other Parent Day or Non-Birthing Parent Day. But the more we thought about it, we realized an even more elegant solution. Taking a cue from unisex clothing, unisex bathrooms, and the great commingling of everything sexual which our order believes in, perhaps we should just merge the two holidays together and simply have one glorious, non-biologically based Parents Day. True gender equality is achieved. No more separate but equal holiday drinking fountains of Mother's and Father's Day. Just one big happy Parents Day, all problems solved. If only all public policy work were this simple. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
And now, brethren, sistren, and otherin, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.
We went a little long. Do we have a traffic report, PJ, worth giving at this point?
I'll do it in 5 minutes.
All right, David Wayne, any headlines for us before we go to your news?
Absolutely. The Milwaukee Admirals hockey team is trying to set a world record, Andrew. They're changing their name to the Milwaukee Cowbells.
I got a fever, and the only prescription is more cowbell.
They're trying to set the record for the most cowbells rung at one time. They're going to do that at a game tonight.
I've heard of no more noble endeavor in my 54 years.
News, I'm Therese Crowley. President Trump welcomes Ukraine's President Zelensky to the White House to finalize a rare earth mineral mining deal to pave the way for ending Russia's war with Ukraine.
The minerals agreement will provide the basis for a more sustainable future relationship between the United States and Ukraine, and thus stimulate the long-term prosperity that will help the Ukrainians rebuild their country. It's been demolished.
President Trump sees the U.S. mining presence as a security guarantee for Ukraine. Attorney General Pam Bondi blames the FBI for withholding thousands of documents on the dead financier and sex offender Jeffrey Epstein that she ordered released. More files expected today. Measles outbreaks now in 10 states, the biggest in Texas. Over 100 cases, mostly unvaccinated children. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 8:31 at News Radio 92.3. We've got 57 degrees right now. It is sunny in Pensacola this morning. Pensacola's graffiti bridge may not be undefeated anymore. News Radio visited the bridge yesterday where visible structural damage was seen that may have been caused by a recent truck strike. One or more of the bridge's I-beams were seen pushed to the north by 1 to 2 feet. While the bridge is likely still safe and within tolerances, it may need some repairs, said Pensacola City Administrator Tim Kinsella tells News Radio they're working with the railroad to look into what may be needed. Well, be ready for traffic delays if you wait till the last minute to head downtown tomorrow for the Mardi Gras parade. This year, Pensacola police will be shutting down Bayfront and Main from Wahoo Stadium all the way to Veterans Memorial Park. PPD's Mike Wood says officers will be allowing employees of businesses in that area, like the Fish House and Atlas, to get in and out.
Yeah, we're going to get them out. We're going to get them to where they need to go. The people that are watching the parade, Main Street will be the first one open. Main Street is not supposed to have throws or the moon pies and the beads and the debris on the roadway that we have to keep it closed down so the street sweepers can do their job. Main should not have any of that on there, so it should be opened up, the first street opened up after the parade.
And Bayfront will be closed about an hour before that parade starts and through the parade and then reopened shortly after it ends. The parade scheduled for a 2 p.m. start tomorrow. Well, Governor Ron DeSantis wasn't really too happy to learn that Andrew and Tristan Tate were on a plane bound for Florida yesterday, despite facing human trafficking and sex with a minor charges in Romania. The private plane landed in Fort Lauderdale.
Florida is not a place where you're welcome with that type of conduct.
He said the Florida Attorney General is now looking at state jurisdiction to see what action he could potentially take, but the governor did say he knows the federal government would have jurisdiction. Well, after teasing a run for governor, prominent Florida attorney John Morgan has decided to launch his own political party. Political scientist Dr. Susan McManus said he has name recognition and the money to do it, but it still won't be easy to in the traditional two-party system.
This is a trial balloon for sure. But obviously, if it comes from John Morgan, it's a trial balloon that's huge and gonna go high, and a lot of people will see it.
Morgan's been a big Democrat donor. He's bankrolled campaigns previously to legalize medical marijuana and to raise the state's minimum wage. Now, plans to execute a convicted killer are moving forward. A judge in Seminole County this week rejected a motion to stop the execution of Edward James. He killed a woman and her 8-year-old granddaughter back in 1993. His lawyers argued he's now in a state of cognitive decline and killing him would be a cruel and unusual punishment. The judge, though, ruled that that claim lacked merit. James's lawyers can appeal to the Florida Supreme Court. As of now, the 63-year-old is scheduled to be executed on March 20th. It's 8:35 at News Radio. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with PJ.
This traffic update brought to you by Lear Capital. Our financial system is cracking under pressure. Your retirement is at risk. Take control now. Lear Capital is offering a free sky-high silver report and precious metals IRA guide at betternestegg.com. Don't leave your future to chance. Oh my goodness, the board is busy right now. There's a vehicle crash with a roadblock. I-10 eastbound right around mile marker 7. There's a partial roadblock, so you can use caution in that area. Also, I-10 eastbound mile marker marker 10. There's a vehicle crash there as well, but the roadway is open. Then moving over to 9 Mile, hit-and-run crash at West 9 Mile Road at Ashland Avenue. Roadway is clear. And then finally, a vehicle crash at Scenic Highway at East Olive Road. No road blockage in that area. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much. A lot going on the roads right now. 8:35, our Channel 3 forecast.
Nice sunny day today with a high near 68 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 48. Keeping beautiful weather around as we go into Saturday with sunny skies, high near 70 degrees. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 50 degrees. Sunny skies on Sunday with a high near 68 and a low near 55. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And right now it is 60 degrees and sunny. Our next news at 9 o'clock and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. And your money now this morning. We've got a mixed open on Wall Street. The Dow is up 5170 at 43,291.20. S&P down 134 at 5863.73. The NASDAQ down 72 points at 18,472.26. 10-year bond rate down at 4.244%. Gold price is up 37.30 at 28,5860. Looking at the crypto market this morning, we've got most of the cryptos are down. Bitcoin down 15.35 at 81,616.21. Ethereum's down 110. Solana's up 786, though, at 144.37. Dogecoin down another penny, sitting at 19 cents. XRP down 6 cents as well. A federal judge has blocked the Trump administration's mass firings of federal workers. A district court judge ruled on Thursday that the Office of Personnel Management will have to rescind a memo that resulted in the mass firings of probationary employees. A new report showing inflation did cool off a little bit last month, but found consumers had cut spending for the first time in almost 4 years. The Personal Consumption Expenditures Price Index rose 2.5% for January compared to last year, falling from December's 2.6% yearly rate. And some consumers and activists are calling for an economic blackout today. The idea is not to spend money for 24 hours in protest against corporate greed and companies that have pulled back on support for diversity, equity, and inclusion programs. It's 8:38. Your next news in 30 minutes, breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic, but don't have a radio nearby? Then you need to download our new app. With the News Radio Pensacola app, you can get text alerts for breaking news, severe weather, and traffic delays. Plus, customize your alerts so you only get the information you need. It's easy to sign up for text alerts. Just download our app, create an account, and select the alerts you want to receive. You can even change your settings at any time. So what are you waiting for? Download the News Radio Pensacola app today and start getting text alerts.
I said a hip hop, the hip hop, you don't stop. Rap.
I will definitely call you back later then.
Come on, wrap it up.
Big sharp it up.
Okay, you know what? Wrap up the circle thing. Come on.
Mr. Parker, wrap it up, please.
Okay.
Okay, everybody, that's a wrap.
That's a wrap. It's a chance to talk about the events of the week or whatever comes up, because a lot of times it goes in directions I did not expect. That's the beauty of having actual live people involved in the conversation. Jonathan Owens, former candidate for Escambia County Commission, former chief of staff for Doug Underhill when he was in office, and Deanna Oleski, Dr. Deanna Oleski, who is the medical examiner for District 1, and both of you, welcome. I think both, well, oh, we're going to have, the mic is going to be a challenge for you over there. I'm sorry. Our sometimes equipment is, maybe not in its ideal form. Jonathan, welcome back.
Welcome.
Deanna, welcome back.
Good morning.
Good to have you. So I didn't schedule either of you on purpose for the things that now are suddenly topical news-wise.
Sometimes so it happens that way.
Works out okay. Doug Underhill basically found that, the appeals judge found that the Ethics Commission overstepped their authority, engaged in improper, excessive punishments, and did wrong after the administrative law judge issued his ruling. And so he's been exonerated. He's not going to have to pay the $35,000 that had been assigned. They're not going to remove him from office. Of course, that's moot at this point anyway, since he's not in office. But big win for Doug, something that, you know, and you're obviously close with Doug. Big development, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's amazing. Sometimes politicians don't listen to their attorneys. I know it happens here locally a lot. So.
We have occasionally seen that.
Yeah.
In
the past. Do have the raw power to do whatever.
They can do it in spite of the advice. I've seen Escambia do that. I've seen Milton do that. I've seen other boards tend to follow what the attorneys tell them to do.
And sometimes it costs the people, you and me, the taxpayers,
right,
money.
And so this is kind of an interesting one because the legal fees for this case, was that the trade that they made where we're not going to, you know, like the one lawsuit's going to get dropped and in exchange we promise not to give him legal fees for this? Is that this one or is that a different one?
I can't keep up with all the deals made between the county commission and, you know, influential people. So, you know.
But that's a previous board, and the current board could make any decision they want. They could, if they, I assume Doug, and I'm not asking you to tell me, but I'm assuming he's going to ask for legal fees and there's no reason now not to pay them. They usually.
If I was Doug.
You would.
I would ask for legal fees.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Deanna, feel free to jump in anytime you have a thought.
I actually think that it's in part of their county code about when they're allowed to bring up and pay for legal fees or not. And they're not allowed to pay for them until you've been excused from wrongdoing, such as.
But they have
case.
Been known to pay for things.
But sometimes they pay for people who have legal fees.
Of course they have. But they also sometimes conveniently not listen to their own ordinance and not pay for when they're supposed to.
You mean follow the process?
Wait, what? Process? Mm.
There are some folks that on the Board of County Commissioners that talk about following the process.
That's great.
Well, we have a new board now.
It is.
Mostly new board. Yeah. We have obviously two new commissioners, Steve Stroberger and Ashley Hoffberger, and two who got reelected. Mm-hmm. And then Mike Kohler is still there after he's, you know, 2 years on the board. Another story, P&J, Molly Barrow's doing a good job reporting on. I hadn't even seen this, but suddenly came across my screen that I guess they are looking at asking or making Jeff Bergosh pay the money expended on his case where he tried to get the text messages suppressed, the PNJ to suppress their reporting on it. This is all related to you for the thumb drive that wound up in your position with all the texts off of his cell phone. $40,000 or so. And, I mean, I don't know why I should be paying for their lawsuit where they went against their county attorney's advice and pursued what was found out to be a slap suit, a strategic lawsuit against public participation, right? Jonathan, do you want to talk about this or not?
Oh,
well, at least
not
they didn't
right
use
now
outside counsel for this one.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay.
I mean, we saved
fair
some money there.
Saved a little money. Steve West was the representative. That's okay. Yeah.
I guess.
Okay. All right. So, speaking of Doge.
Can we Doge this county, please?
It seems like maybe we ought to have that kind of approach at many levels of government. Not only at the federal or the state, that maybe even at the local level.
Perhaps the purge?
We should, the Escambia County purge, the Santa Rosa County purge. We should look at these things a little bit more aggressively.
Yeah.
I mean, look, I know that's what was Doug Underhill's always his view is, what do you call it, zero-based budgeting, which
I
is.
I would love to see the county yes commission, any local government run a zero-based budget. And, you know, there was a lot of gnashing of teeth when that happened. But you know, it exposes and it exposes the staff to, okay, tell us where every dollar is going. Mm-hmm. Don't tell us that you need more money because you spent all the money last year. Tell us where every dollar is
right
going. Tell me what you're going to do.
Let's explain. So in common budgeting, the way it's normally done, if you appropriate, let's say like an Escambia County figure, you put $3 million into a department. Okay. Next year's budget, you just copy and paste. You start at 3 million. Maybe you go up to 3.1, maybe you go down to 2.9, but 3 is the default.
Right.
And what zero-based budgeting would do would say everybody starts at zero every year. And you have to justify why we need to spend $3 million or $2 million or a million or four on this particular project. And to me, that's the same concept of, hey, let's not waste money because we wasted it last year too. Let's start from scratch every year and make sure we're really only spending money in the right way, right?
Yeah. I don't know that you could do a zero-based budget every year. It's maybe every four years, maybe, or every
or by department, like on a rotating basis,
maybe a quarter of the budget every four years. It's your turn for zero based budgeting this year.
Yeah, yeah. So, and net out, and put the rest, whatever is left over, if you didn't spend it in 4 years, put it back in the general fund, start over.
Yeah, and or pay down things that you know maybe have been deferred, or I mean, gosh, you could even issue a Escambia or Santa Rosa County Doge check, you know, a tax refund check to people. I would be fine if we just paid the firefighters better, but, you know, either way. We're talking to Deanne Oleski and Jonathan Owens here in studio with me. I've got PJ with Traffic on the Fives.
Traffic is brought to you by Generator Source, powering Pensacola businesses with industrial generators to commercial backup systems with the most trusted brands. Expert installation, 24/7 support. GeneratorSource.com. Taking a look at the big board, still quite busy out there. I-10 eastbound, mile marker 10. There's a vehicle crash. They're saying the roadway is open. Also, a hit-and-run crash, West 9 Mile Road at Ashland Avenue. Roadway is clear in that area. And then taking a look over at Crestview, vehicle crash at Shoal Creek and John King Road. And they're saying the roadway's clear there, too. I'm PJ with your Traffic on the Fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. If you're thinking about the next vehicle you want to get, you want a car you can trust on, count on, get a good deal on, it won't smell like a brand new car, but it's okay. A year, two, 3 years old, maybe 10 or 20 or 30,000 miles on it. You're going to drive it for a while and enjoy it. The kind of car that Dave Ramsey recommends, I recommend. Frontier Motors specializes in A-quality cars that you can trust. And what I really love about them is the variety of cars on the lot at any moment, so you can go drive a bunch of things, sit in a bunch of things, test, I mean, really side-by-side comparison without having to go meet a new salesperson at each place and drive around town, and what was the one I've third time before? Where was that? No, it's all right in one place. Very easy. You find what you like, buy it. You find something you think you like, but you want more miles for a lower price or fewer miles for a higher price, tell them to go looking. You want a different color? Tell them to go looking. They go buy cars for people all the time. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi. All right, back to Deanne Oleski and Jonathan Owens, who are in studio here with me for the wrap. Do you feel safe driving under Graffiti Bridge? Now that I showed you the I-beam that's a foot or two out of position from a truck strike?
Well, I think it needs more signs.
So, you know, the mayor has wanted to put a sign up. They've tried all different kinds of things to figure out what to do. I think this is on hold because of the construction at Wayside Park after Sally and also now with the fishing pier. I just think there's been those kinds of things have gotten in the way of actually putting something up. But they're wanting to do a pretty sophisticated system that has at least a 4% chance of working, you know?
Let me ask you a question. Speaking of the city and photo-enforced
The cameras, yeah.
Lights.
Red light cameras.
There are signs on every one of those lights that are photo enforced. How many people have ran the red lights?
A lot.
Since the signs have been up.
And since the publicity.
Signs don't help people make good decisions.
Maybe we should use more signs.
Well, signs.
Don't they help them make some? They help some people make good decisions.
Well, the people that run underneath the graffiti bridge.
Okay. All right. And the people that are running red lights.
Yep.
Yeah.
Are probably not
paying attention.
Thwarted by the highly informative sign. I was actually thinking this yesterday. I was down at St. Michael's, the cemetery, where we've had a car run right through the stop sign at Alcanese, the turn right one, and run right into the cemetery. Mm-hmm. And you can see all along the fence all the damage that's been done over the years by people failing to navigate the north left turn, which is rough, or the right turn there. And so, I mean.
Why not put a
barrier?
A little bridge before the bridge, so you can hit that first.
Like a test bridge?
Yeah, test bridge.
One that like kind of falls over, but you know you've gone wrong?
Yeah, oh, now I got to pay attention.
Yeah. I know some people have had the idea like, well, you know, if the railroad is going to be in there fixing the trestle anyway, which they are going to have to do, could they maybe raise it? Well, I mean, you got to raise a mile of track, I'm sure, in order to make that work. And
you can't just like put a like, wee, like a whoop-de-doo, like a speed bump.
Or we could dig the part that
put like a BMX ramp in there, right, so that the train can just go over that spot, right? That's not going to work. What'd you say, Deanna?
Or we can dig it lower so it can even go.
So I have been told that is not a functional alternative.
No, of course
because it's
not.
Floods.
Yes,
and it's going to flood worse.
Yes,
you know.
I have to say when it was snowing, and I was going towards the bayfront to pick up my staff. In the giant vehicle. Yes, and I was going towards the bridge. There were some cones out where you weren't supposed to go that way because the bayfront was closed. They wanted you to know that the bridge was closed, but I didn't see it well until I was already past. I was like, well, good luck to me here. Sorry, guys.
Did you make it safely?
Of course I did.
Okay. Do you have a four-wheel drive or something?
Yeah, a three-quarter ton truck.
Oh, yeah. All right. You're fine. 9 inches of snow. Who cares? Everything's fine.
It's fine.
What else do we have on the... Okay, you're a medical examiner. Huh. This we have like a current news item that's actually directly relevant to your qualifications. Have you been following the Gene Hackman story at all?
I was just caught up this morning.
Okay, because so, you know, obviously he's 95 and, you know, she's like in her 60, 63 or two or something like that.
He's 95?
Yeah.
Wow.
I know. He hasn't acted in like a decade. But they find him, her, passed out, the dog. I mean, they're all dead. And, you know, they've been that way for a while. Mummified is the term that's being used. They didn't find carbon monoxide, which had been my suspicion. They didn't find natural gas leak. They don't know why. There was a bottle of pills of some sort by her, but they think she fell suddenly and maybe spilled the pills. Not that she took the pills and fell. He may have fallen too because his cane was near him. You hear all this, and you're like a detective, and of course your folks like Chrissy's your great examiner. You have any thoughts about this? I mean,
we hate having the dogs on the scene, of course, but that's kind of a that if there are no evidence of animal depredation of when your darling best friend tries to eat you because they're starving, I kind of think that this might sound intentional to me. Hmm. There, if carbon monoxide was ruled out, the dog is dead, everybody's dead, then something was given to everybody.
Yeah, there were two dogs in the property that were not in kennels and were alive, but that's the latest I know. Can they know that there was no carbon monoxide poisoning at the time now, if it's been a week or two or whatever it's been?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
All right.
We can still test for that.
And then they go through a process. You do an autopsy, and that'll reveal a lot, I assume.
Or not. If they're mummified at this point, there's not a lot to really determine from. If your skin is leathery, your organs are also kind of leathery. So
they don't tell you much when you're...
When you're mummified, no.
Okay.
I mean...
It's a term I don't use a lot in my...
We can do chemicals. We can still do toxicology, but I'm just saying, like, if he had a massive heart attack, I wouldn't be able to tell because it all kind of just...
The evidence has gone away and the condition of the body deteriorating.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But if they took something, yeah, we could definitely still be able to
tell. Not to
be
morbid, but you need fresh meat to work on to find out the details.
Fresh meat. Yeah. In other news...
At least they weren't charred.
So this is a story that everybody but me seems to care about. And so I feel like maybe we ought to give it its, 40 seconds of attention. The Epstein files.
Those are out?
No. What? Like, they gave Pam Bondi, the FBI gave Pam Bondi, like, 200 pages. And it turns out that there's, like, 20,000 pages or something. And she says, you better give them to me by today or else.
Huh.
And...
You mean there's a deep state that's like restricting? Shut the front door.
I mean,
they haven't been honest with us?
Like, I just don't think anything's gonna come of it, and I haven't found the passion to
maybe
care.
He didn't kill himself.
Where's Geraldo Rivera?
Keep thinking is like this is gonna be they're gonna open the files and there's gonna be nothing in Al Capone's vault, and Geraldo's gonna make a gob of money on an empty vault for a 2-hour special. And like, what do you really think is gonna be in there? I mean, the people who can hide the tower flight logs can hide everything, right? So do you guys care about this story or think anything's coming of it or wish you knew?
We're at a point, and I think the country's at a point, we're so complacent about, facts.
Horrible things.
Yeah, horrible things.
We're just
gray.
Yeah. Deep state. Imagine that. I mean, shocked.
There's gambling
at Rick's.
This isn't good, by the way, the complacency.
Yeah, I agree.
This is bad.
You mean a democracy where people have checked out and everybody just assumes it's horrible and corrupt? That's not healthy?
No. And to never question it either. Be like, right. Oh, thanks for the files. Whatever.
Well, so one of the grand problems in our country, and I think all democracies, and it's getting worse, is for citizens to be able to make informed votes, you've got to have the mental dedication to keep following the story through the 3 or 4 years it's going to take you to get.
Otherwise,
the exoneration for Doug Underhill, or the fees are going to get attached to Jeff Bergoglio, or the release of the Shade transcripts in Milton, or, I mean, Deanna, I know you're passionate about all these things, but they take forever, and who's got the time or the attention span to do that?
Well, the thing is I'm honestly a little bit, I'm going to be honest here, the fact is I don't think we get choices for who our actual electeds are unless you really are following. And the only time that you're ever going to make a choice is only going to be with your local candidates.
I'll give you an example of making choices. We had opportunity in our special election to have 10 candidates this time. Mm-hmm. And this may not be a popular opinion, but I don't think the president should have ever gotten involved in a local primary within a party and endorsing someone.
Mm-hmm.
Patronus won 65% of the vote.
On name recognition without Trump and on Trump's endorsement.
Right.
Yes.
65% of the people that cared, because it's a special election, right?
They very small turnout to begin with.
They all showed up because Trump told them to. I've had multiple people tell me that. That was Trump's endorsement, so I'm going to go vote for him. That's a problem. I mean, and I'm a Republican. That's a problem where we're going to go vote because someone told me to, or the president told me to. That is an excuse to not do your research, not do your homework. I kind of feel the same way about term limits, too.
Yeah, but in this case, I mean, to add difficulty to the situation, you had too many candidates who had too short of a time to even think about making a proper campaign.
Right.
I mean, even I get
to know them.
Who
are these people?
It's my job to know this stuff, and I'm like, I got to meet eight of them. You know?
Right? You don't have enough shows to get all of them on and give them equal time.
And even do it in a meaningful way. It's incredibly difficult to do.
The choice was made for us.
Well, I know a lot of people that was how they felt too. Like, okay, you know, fine, you know. But yeah, and I tend to think the same way. Because your local representatives that's the rare case where you might actually know the people.
Absolutely. And, I agree with you.
And actually, come back to this in a second. Let's get traffic on the fives with PJ.
There is a vehicle crash at I-10 eastbound, mile marker 7. They're saying there's a partial roadblock, so use caution in that area. Just down the road a ways, I-10 eastbound, mile marker 10. Vehicle crash as well. Road is open. And then taking a quick look at 9 Mile, hit-and-run crash, West 9 Mile and Ashland Avenue. They're saying the roadway's clear there. And then finally over in Crestview, vehicle crash at Shoal Creek Cove and John King Road. Roadway's clear. I'm PJ with your traffic on the 5.
Oh, we did get a good suggestion in here for how to solve the graffiti bridge problem. They should just make trucks and RVs smaller.
Bad idea. It's America.
Kind of like forcing us all to buy electric vehicles.
You're right.
I was just thinking cyber truck.
Or to get the Obama light bulbs.
Right.
I wish I didn't have to buy the Obama light bulbs. Okay, so it's more and more. There's a principle in Catholicism called subsidiarity, which is the idea that the best form of government is a government that governs the most closely and therefore accountably to the people, right? So as much of the government decisions that can be made by people you would actually meet, that's best for everybody. But it's the same for picking representatives. Like, you know, I can meet my county commissioners. I can meet my city council members. I can meet my state representatives and state senators. You probably could, you know, maybe. I have a chance to meet U.S. senators. Most people are never going to meet their senator. Mm-hmm. I don't even have a chance to meet the president. I mean, maybe I could try to force the issue. But, like, we are electing people that we have never personally met. That's a problem.
Well, it is for local government. That's in kind of a way.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, the people that we vote on should be people that we have shaken hands with, looked in the eye, eaten with, maybe, you know, talked with. And I'm actually very much of the opinion that you put those people in power and then let them pick the people who they know that they think are going to do a job at the next level. That was the original idea of the Senate, right? That the state legislature would pick your senators. I like that idea. That was the Electoral College, is that the states would pick the president, not me. Mm-hmm. Am I wrong? Am I crazy?
Kind of.
That's a longer conversation than the 3 minutes
that's
we have
left. That's a separate
issue.
No, I agree with that. Oh, man. So, anyway, Deanne, you seem like you were jumping in.
I'm just sitting here thinking about even like with our local state representative of when those choices were made for us by people dropping out of that election.
Right? And people who didn't run.
But that's coming from our own people saying, oh, no, actually, sorry, not this time for me. I'm out.
Well, for the Congress race, Michelle Salzman certainly would have had a chance to win that election. And she declined to run.
Correct.
Right? When she was, I think, almost certainly going to run, and then she declined to run. I love Michelle. I wish she'd have ran. That would have been at least a choice of a viable alternative. Not that I'm against Jimmy, but I would have rather seen two or three people that had a really good chance.
Right.
And we could get to know. And
here's where you and I disagree.
All right.
Okay. 10 folks in a race.
Only place.
Okay. Yeah, probably not. 10 people in the race. That is, I can see.
I think we're completely out of time.
We're out.
We have botched this completely. All right. So, Deanna Oleski,
thanks, guys.
Jonathan Owens,
just at the point where Jonathan was going to explain why I'm completely stupid. We have to cut. All right. Have a good weekend.